On the call tonight, the voice of the Predators, Michael P. Peter Weber.
Yep, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And who else is here?
Harold Priestley Gill.
Oh, yeah.
Preds and Pens coming up next.
We're ready to go, Preds and Pens. Let's do this.
I'm going to throw a chair off the roof of the building.
I'm feeling it now.
That person is not only going to win world titles, but he's going to have record-breaking ratings.
The Macho Man bringing us back in. It can only mean one man, the great Hal Gill, Stanley Cup champion and Predators analyst. You can see him on TV. You can hear him on the radio with Max Herz on the road game. Skillsy, the season is finally here. How the heck are you?
Oh, I'm ready to snap into it.
I can tell. I can feel the energy. It is. It's been an exciting summer and an exciting offseason, but obviously now people are ready to see this team in action, and they get to do it Thursday night. What did you have a preference when you were playing, opening at home or opening on the road?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. You're at home and you just kind of, you know, you run through your normal routine and it seems like, you know, training camp and practice, and it's kind of nice and easy. But there is something to be said for getting away and getting on the road and starting there with no pressure at your own building. You know, you just go play a simple game. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is like, you just wanted to keep it simple early on until you get up to game speed and you're actually in it. But that first 5 minutes is like, whoa, let's go. We're in, you know, this isn't preseason anymore. So I think that's sometimes easier on the road and sometimes harder. So either way, there's goods and bads for both.
The final roster was announced yesterday by Barry Trotz, the general manager. A couple of things that really stood out to me. Defenseman Tanner Molendijk, I thought there was a chance they'd at least keep him to start the season, but they ultimately sent him back to the WHL in Saskatoon. What did you see out of Molendijk in camp, and how close do you think he really is to being NHL ready?
It's so hard, right? I mean, like, he's right there. It's hard to commit to. I mean, you can play his 9 games. If he plays his 10th game, he has to stay, and he can't go back. But I just think, we talk about developing and letting the, you know, ripen on the vine. And I think he's at that, like, he's so gifted. He's such a great skater. I just think he's got to learn and I was watching the game with Willie Donick, and he's like, can you point out the things that you were talking about? Can you point out, like, when does he need to be hard? When does he need to be skilled? And I think that's a hard part for any young defenseman, is I need to go out and make plays. He's a playmaker, right? And he's got to go make plays. But there's sometimes you just have to be hard on the puck, hard on the body, get it, move it. You don't need to be pretty. You need to sense when those times are. And I think it takes a while to figure out when is the right time and when is the wrong time to make plays. And I think that's what he's trying to figure out. So let him go. He's going to dominate in the WHL, and he's going to develop there and become a better player in the end because of it. You don't want to rush a player, especially, you know, if you have a team, you know, like Chicago, you can develop guys there, because it's not the end of the world if you lose a game. But I think this team is looking for big things, and it can be devastating to a young player if you make a mistake and cost your team 2 points, and then you're looking on the outside of the playoffs.
The other thing that stood out to me, Hal, is, and look, we know how fluid this can be, you know, that this roster is going to change as the season goes along, but only 6 defensemen currently on the roster. Spencer Stastny is considered non-roster at the moment. So were you a little surprised they don't carry the extra D-man at least to start?
It's interesting. I thought Del Geiso looked pretty good. I think they like what he does and the way he plays. But he's, you know, I think that's a call-up. You know, you have options for call-ups, and that's why you develop a good team in Milwaukee that you can pull guys from. But I think you need to see what these guys can do and what this group is all about. And sometimes when you get rid of the noise and get rid of the, you know, just let these guys go play, and you have your 6, you turn them out there and you're not worried about whether you're going tonight or not. You just go out there and play, and maybe that's a good way to start, especially with a bunch of home games where, you know, this month is what is there, two or three road games, really, that's it. So, you know, I think with a home start, you want to get these guys out there and get them into a rhythm and just keep six and roll.
We're talking to Hal Gill in the Chase and Big Joe show. All right, Hal, from a fan perspective for the Nashville Predators, how excited should this fan base be as the season begins?
I'm always tentative. I think I've told this story a million times, but it still rings true. Is where I was in Montreal, and there's a bunch of newly signed guys, and you know, Bob Gainey was our general manager. They asked him, should we be excited about this? And he goes, I don't know. I like what my guys, I like what they do, but I don't know what this team is going to look like. You know, you go out and you make a team and you say, yeah, Stamkos is going to be awesome. Marchessault is going to be great. You know, Brady Shea, what a great defenseman. We can't believe we have him. This is amazing. But you don't know what the team is going to look like until the team actually gets out and plays together. So I think that's where you have to be excited, but don't expect the world to just, you know, be all perfect throughout the season. There's going to be ups and downs, and if you lose a game against Dallas, that doesn't mean that your team is out of the playoffs. You know, you just got to go out there and hope that you put together a good group like Barry Trotz did. I like our group, and I'm really excited about it, but I'm excited to see what they are as a team. Can they build off the momentum that they got last year with that team bonding that they had, the way they played for each other and the way they played a fast game? Can they continue that with new personnel?
Do you like – I'm reading some articles this morning on the Predators, and several have called them a potential cup contender. Would you like to table that phrase until the winter?
Every team I've ever been on is a cup contender in my right. mind. So, right? I mean, like, that's why you play, you know? Like, you go out to dinner and you do a cheers and you cheers to the cup. That's what you're there for. It's we're all in this together and we're going to go to win. I do think, looking around at this team, it's going to be a battle. The Central Division is tough. I mean, you're going to have to beat, you know, Dallas, Colorado. It's not easy, and there's a lot of good teams out there. So to say you're a cup contender is brazen and bold. Same time, I feel like looking at it, why wouldn't they be? I think they're right there, and if they can put it up and get into a position where they're in a good spot way through the season, then you're looking at the trade deadline, like can they make this team a little bit better? And then I think, yeah, they're cup contenders. I think they're poised right now to be cup contenders, and now we just got to play it out and see where the team takes us.
Hal Gill is with us. Predators open their season Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena against the Dallas Stars. We saw Luke Evangelista in 80 games last year, so he played a majority of the season, 16 goals, 23 assists. He was only 21. So now that he's a little bit older, he's got some experience under his belt. He's now played a full season in the National Hockey League and then some. What do you want to see from Evangelista to take that next step?
Isn't it funny? Every time you say Luke Evangelista's name, I smile. Do you guys get that same thing? I don't know what it is. He's just got a good energy. Like, he's just – I feel like he's going to be the guy that you love to watch play. And I think the more confidence that he gets, the more fun he is to watch. I feel like he proved that he's a gamer, right? I mean, like, in big games, he was scoring big goals. He's kind of learned how Bruno wants his system run, and he's playing with speed. And then he's got a ton of skill. You know, he can make the big pass. He's got some finish in him. He can finish in and around the net. He found a way to get gritty goals, which for a guy that's not that big, he plays kind of a little bit of jam in his game. And so I just think the more confidence he gets, the more swagger he has. And the big thing for me is there's going to be a bump in the road. Like there was last year, he had to miss some games. Brunette sat him out, and, you know, he learned and he went through that. And you know, that's everyone's career. You're going to have ups and downs. He's going to have another one of those. He's going to have a little scoring drought at some point. He's going to have, you know, and it's going to be, and that's when he's really going to be tested. So I'm super high on him. I'm buying stock in Pretty Boy Vincenzo. So I want to see where it goes, though. I want to see what he can do night in and night out.
Hal, you've, you know, obviously been around the game for a long time. You know, Andrew Brunette, even though he had the year in Florida, last year's first year here, now he goes into year two. Can you recall, like, watching a coach that kind of went from his first year, his rookie year as a head coach, to the second year, and maybe some differences, some changes, you know, things that they learned along the way that they might adjust as they go into year two? And how could Bruno do that going into this year?
I don't know if it's necessarily adjustment. I think it's just being more comfortable with what he's doing. I think he had success last year, so why would he change? And I remember talking to him in the playoffs, you know, can you change your game? And he's like, no, I live in, you know, because sometimes you say, hey, we're playing a good team in Vancouver. Should we try to lock it down? Should we change our style to adapt to them? And I think he got to be in a spot where he's really comfortable with his game plan and the way he wants his guys to play. And so I think he's even more confident in it now. And now he has, you know, the coaching staff is all up to speed on it. And I think the players, certainly that top line with O'Reilly, Forsberg, and Nyquist, are playing his style of game, and they're having success. And I think they're having fun with it. And so I think you look around the whole team, why would you change? I think you just get more comfortable and be a little more – you can be a little more bold when you have that confidence in your system. So I'm sure he's making changes in his mindset. But I think on paper and, like, the way he wants the systems to go, just keep letting it roll and see where they can take it.
All right, Hal, I love asking you these questions. All right, we're going to take the Preds' first six games. What would you like to see when we gather again on Tuesday, October 22nd, when they take on the Bruins? That'll be six games into the season. What would you like the Preds to have done and be situated at by that time? What do you want to see, basically, the first six games?
Six games, I think, is a small sample size, but – I always go 10 games in is when you kind of know where your team is and what you kind of have an idea. But if we're going six games, I think I need to see that speed. I think the challenge is going to be, I think Marchessault certainly has the speed now, and Stamkos have the speed to play the fast game. They just need to think it fast. And sometimes it's not, you know, in other words, you know, if you have to think out there, you're dead, right? That's what Maverick said in Top Gun.
Right.
you know, I think they need to get their triggers going. And so if they can get that going, I don't really care about the wins and losses. I'm more worried about the speed that they play. And if they're playing that speed, I think the wins are going to start building. But it might take a couple games. You might lose a couple games. I don't think that's the end of the world. As long as you're playing towards your identity, you can't change that identity. That Bruno system, it needs to be kind of locked in. Win or lose, they got to get to that speed, because I think over time, if they commit to playing that fast game, they're going to get the wins. And so I think six games in would be great if they're 6-0. I think it would be awesome, even more important, if they felt like they were playing fast and they had their D up in the rush, and they were complimenting each other. You know, sometimes wins and losses are kind of streaky.
Right.
And I think it's more about what they're doing as a team.
Does it help or hurt that the Central Division is absolutely loaded this year? That means you have a battle every night, but with the Central Division, I mean, you were really battling every single time you hit the ice.
Yeah, no, and maybe that brings the best out of you. You know, like, that's – I think – you know, from my experience, like, remember, I played where you played your division eight times. It was felt like a bloodbath. You know, you're just, you know, four at home, four on the road. And it just got to be, you know, exhausting at times, but every game felt like it was a huge game in your division. So I think that brings out the best in you. And hopefully, look at the veteran leadership that has been, that is here, and that's also been brought in. You know, like you're talking about Stanley Cups and steady players, NHL, you know, guys that are, that have been there and done that. And so I think they're going to really enjoy those games, because that's what, those are the ones that matter.
No doubt. It all gets started Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena. Skillsy, looking forward to this every week. Thanks so much. And we'll see you Thursday night.
It's nice to be a regular now. You know, you guys forget about me over the summer, and it, sometimes it hurts my feelings, you know? So it's nice to be relevant again.
We can never forget about you, Skillsy.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good one, guys. Right. Cheers.
See you Thursday. Hal Gill joining us here on the program, Predators analyst. And again, you will see him on the desk with Lindsey Rowley Thursday night on Bally Sports. Or actually, no, not Thursday night. They are on ESPN Plus Thursday night. But you will see him normally on the desk and hear him with Max Herz on the road right here on Preds Radio. We'll get back to our question of the day. What is Alabama going to do with the $100,000 fine that they're getting from Vanderbilt? Keep them creative. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.